Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to you who are here and you who are online. Wherever you're coming from and whatever you're bringing with you from the week, we pray that you'll experience the restoring power and presence of the living Jesus here today. You are welcomed. I have a few announcements. First of all, we want to thank the Hebron Summer Choir this morning for helping lead us in worship. And if you would like to try out your voice on a one-time chance, next Sunday at 9 o'clock, if you come and rehearse, it's usually a familiar hymn or something that you can learn quickly. So next Sunday at 9 o'clock. In 3 weeks, on September the 7th, following the Sunday service, will be the fall kickoff luncheon. So it will be a potluck. We'll have food, time to sort of catch up and see what Hebron's doing in the fall. So that's 3 weeks from now on September the 7th. And we're delighted to be having We Little People come to church now. And because they do, we would like to offer the family the opportunity to have a nursery to sometimes if they'd like to take their young ones there. And if you would give prayerful consideration to see if you might volunteer sometimes to help hold the nursery, if you'd contact Paula Curl, and she would talk to you about what's needed to be done to do that. So it's a good mission to those families if we can help them out with that. And finally, if you would please join us after the service today in Holman Hall. We're going to have a time for refreshments and conversation and time together. So. Now, if we settle our minds and open our hearts to this time with the Lord. Thank you. Please rise as you're able and join me as we're called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
The Lord reigns forever. God has established his throne for judgment.
God rules the world in righteousness and judges the peoples with equity.
Sing the praises of the Lord enthroned in Zion.
Proclaim among the nations what God has done.
Weary and need rest, to all who mourn and long to be comforted, to all who feel worthless and wonder if God cares, to all who fail and desire strength, to all who sin and need a Savior, Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners, welcomes you here and greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, O Lord, with all our hearts. We tell of all your wondrous deeds. In you we are glad and rejoice, singing your praises, O Most High. For in Jesus Christ you have called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light, uniting us with yourself and with one another. Attend our worship, we pray, by the work and power of the Holy Spirit. Feed us by your word. Lift high our praises. Hear our prayers. And let us not leave this place without knowing that you have met us here. All through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
The proof of God's amazing love is this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Trusting in God's faithfulness and compassion, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, you pardon all who truly repent and turn to you. We humbly confess our sins and ask your mercy. We have not loved you with a pure heart, nor have we loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not done mercy, love, kindness, or walked humbly with you. Have mercy on us, O God. Do not cast us away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and sustain us with your bountiful Spirit, all for Christ's sake. Amen. Almighty God, in his great mercy, gave Jesus Christ to die for us, and for Christ's sake forgives us all our sins. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I'd like to invite any children forward, children young or old, forward for a children's message. The choir is going to be part of the children's message today.
Do you want to come sit with me, Eliza? That's great. We have a new recruit for the choir. Okay. Today we're going to read the story of the lost sheep. So Jesus, he loved to tell stories, and that's how he taught most of the time, as he told stories. So we're going to hear one of those right now. Are you ready? Okay. Anybody wants a picture? Ooh. Ah. The story of the lost sheep. Some of the Pharisees and religious leaders disapproved of the way Jesus welcomed people who were known to be bad. He even ate meals with people who were known to be cheats and wrongdoers. When they grumbled about this, Jesus answered by telling this story. Supposing a man had 100 sheep, and one of the sheep went astray, wouldn't he go looking for the lost sheep? People nodded in agreement. Every shepherd would search for his own sheep. There was no doubt about that. Jesus went on. A shepherd would leave all the other 99 sheep on the hillside and search everywhere for the lost sheep until he found her. And when he found her, he would be so happy. He would lift the sheep onto his shoulders and carry her home to safety. Then he would call all of his friends together, saying, "Come over and celebrate with me, for today I have found my lost sheep." Jesus called out to the crowd, "In the very same way, there will be more happiness and rejoicing in heaven over one person who is sorry for their sins than over the 99 good people who do not need to repent." Okay, so my choir and my children's message participants, the promise of the gospel, Eliza and choir, is that God loves us so much that even when we do things that maybe we shouldn't do, he will always come back. He'll be our friend, and he loves us. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Yes.
Do you understand? Okay. Let's pray. Let me see your prayer hands, everybody. Prayer hands over here. This is a repeat after me prayer, okay? Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for showing us.
Thank you for showing us.
That you will never leave us.
That you will never leave us.
Nor forsake us.
Nor forsake us.
But love us forever.
But love us forever.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We pray.
We pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you can go back and sit down, Eliza.
I'll get that later.
Okay.
Let's turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. God, our helper, show us your ways and teach us your paths. By your Holy Spirit, open our minds that we may be led in your truth and be taught your will. And then may we praise you by listening to your word and by obeying it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Psalms. We're now on Psalm 9. Psalm 9. So we are making our way. A little piece of information that I want you to know about Psalm 9 is actually that it is connected to Psalm 10. Psalm 9 and Psalm 10 are connected because they are an acrostic poem using the Hebrew alphabet. Every other verse, it starts with one of the letters all the way from 9 all the way through Psalm 10. So in the Septuagint, that's the Greek version of the Old Testament, and in the Latin Vulgate of the Old Testament, they actually hold it as one psalm. There's not a 9 and 10 as we have it in our English Bibles today. They keep it as one psalm. However, as we will see this week and next week, the tone and the themes within these psalms are so vastly different, it seems, that they have been set as two different psalms. So I just want us to keep that in mind. But if you were to become a Hebrew scholar, which I hope all of you will one day, you would see the poem, the acrostic poem. So now let us listen to God's word in Psalm 9. For the director of music, to the tune of the death of the sun, a psalm of David. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. For you have upheld my right and my cause, sitting enthroned as a righteous judge. You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken my enemies. You have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the people with equity. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing the praises of the Lord enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. For he who avenges blood remembers. He does not ignore the cries of the afflicted. Lord, see how my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death, that I may declare your praises in the gates of daughter Zion, and there rejoice in your salvation. The nations have fallen into the pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net they have hidden. The Lord is known by his acts of justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands. The wicked go down to the realm of the dead, all the nations that forget God. But God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never perish. Arise, Lord, do not let mortals triumph. Let the nations be judged in your presence. Strike them with terror, Lord. Let the nations know they are only mortal, human. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Dear friends in Christ, we are a people prone to forget. We forget those who have come before us and made us who we are today. We forget the hard lessons that we've learned that have brought us to this place. If you don't believe me, just look at the sheer number of monuments and memorials that humanity has set up so that we would remember. Our nation's capital, for example, overflowing with monuments. Some seek to remind us of people in our history who have made an impact. I think of the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial. Others remind us of tragedy in our history that have shaped us and forged us into the people who we are today. Again, I think of the 9/11 Pentagon Memorial. We create these monuments so we will remember the challenges we have overcome and the values that we seek to emulate. In remembering, we seek to build a better future. Sometimes, though, our remembering calls us to account. It even condemns us so that we might make better choices in the future. The National Memorial for Peace and Justice, for example, located in Montgomery, Alabama, has 805 hanging rectangles, each of which represent the U.S. counties where a documented lynching took place. We call these things to mind. We remember these things and others like them so that we might repent, so that we might do better, so that we might be better in the future. In remembering, we seek to build a better future. And now we need both of these kinds of remembrances, the good and the bad, the positive and the negative, because as a people prone to forget, we are likely to make the same mistakes over and over and over. Now it's the same with our Christian walk. We need means to remember both the good and the bad, to both call us to repentance and to remind us who we are in Christ. Otherwise, we'll make the same mistakes. We'll fall into the same old sins. We'll live only in the old life. This is what Psalm 9 shows us in great detail. It is on the surface a praise, a song of praise to God for victory over an enemy. It was most likely originally sung by the people of Israel in response to their king's victory over a Gentile nation. So maybe not just King David, but other kings in history. But as you may have noticed as we read through, that there's this subtle theme of memory, of remembering, of memory which both condemns and memory which is a source of hope for the future. On the one hand, we see memory, or lack thereof, condemning the nations. The central characteristic of the enemies that the psalmist describes in the text is that they have forgotten God, verse 17. Now, this isn't merely a slip of the mind, but a rejection of who they know God is. A rejection of the God who rules the world in righteousness and judges the people with equity. In rejecting God, the nations in the psalm have sought to oppress the poor, do violence to the widow and the orphan, persecute the righteous. As we read the psalms, as we go through them, we'll see similar themes of what unrighteousness and wickedness is. And it always has to do with these issues of injustice against the least and the needy. That's just as much here. And at the same time, they haven't only rejected God, but they've sought to take his place. In the final verse of our psalm, the psalmist asks God to remind the nations that they are only mortal. And this suggests that the root of their injustice and unrighteousness comes from thinking they can be their own gods, that they can be the masters of their own lives. They sought to be like God, but apart from God. But isn't this the most basic and first sin? Because even the serpent in the garden tempted Adam and Eve, saying, "You can be like God." This is where we get in trouble too, both as nations and as individuals. We spend our days trying to be the masters of our own lives, trying to amass enough wealth or power or comfort or friends or good feelings so that we gain a kind of sense of control over our own lives, to be, as it were, our own gods. Yet it is all apart from the one who created us, who sustains us, and who gives us every good gift. I think of that phrase, biting the hand that feeds you. And if we're honest, this striving to be masters of our own lives only leaves us feeling flat, restless, empty. It's not that any of these things in and of themselves are bad, but it's that we do it, we strive after it, apart from the one who is the giver of every good gift, of every good gift. At its extreme, this striving, we can see it in the world today, it leads only to violence and to hate, to chaos. Because when we're all about mastering our own lives, anybody who we see as a threat becomes the object of our ire. As we remember the failures that we see in the Gentile nation, we find those same things bubbling up in ourselves. We are likewise condemned. The good thing is that is not the end of our story. For just as memory serves to condemn, memory is also the means of our hope. The psalmist had hope even in the face of his enemies because he called to mind one central truth about our God. Verse 18, God will never forget the needy. God will never forget the needy. Humanity is prone to forget, but God never forgets. Especially, God never forgets those who are his own. In their moment of need, when they cry out for mercy and deliverance, the Lord is swift to act. He is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. The psalmist here may have been thinking about the Israelites when they were in slavery in Egypt in the book of Exodus. And it says in the text there that God remembered their cries for deliverance. God always remembers, and he will never forget the needy. And because God never forgets, it means that he can never ultimately forsake his own. Even in the moment when we feel that all is lost, when we see tomorrow and it does not look bright, when we look at the chaos of this world, when we look at the raging of the nations, as the Psalms use, when we look at our own brokenness inside, we may think that God has forsaken us. But the truth is, which we found in our parable from Luke 15, is that he will leave the 99 and come after the one. But he never leaves nor forsakes us. He will lift us up from the gates of death and give us life. It is a powerful thing to be remembered by God, to be remembered by God. That is why I think that the thief on the cross, he turned in his last moments to Jesus. Do you remember these words, what he said? Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me when you have come into your kingdom. Obviously, he had a sense that this was not just another man hanging on the cross. And that to be remembered by this Jesus meant that his future would be different. What an amazing faith that is. Could you imagine hanging on the cross next to Jesus? And you say, but my future can be different. But my future can be different. God does not need monuments or memorials to remember, because Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, is the eternal reminder of God's steadfast love and faithfulness to us. Those nailed, scarred hands are the same that hold us eternally secure. His wounded side is a refuge and a stronghold in times of trouble. Because God never forgets his own, it means that we have a real hope for the future. All that memory that what once condemned us will pass away, engulfed in the steadfast love and faithfulness of our Savior. All those powers and principalities which rage, which forget God and seek to threaten our very lives, they will come to nothing. Replaced by the kingdom of the Redeemer who remembers us. And in the meantime, even if our memories fail us, even if our memories fail us, we will forever be held by the God who can never forget. My friends, this is the truth of the gospel for all who believe. So as we together remember, and as we again and again and again remind one another of who our God is, let us join with that song in eternity, singing the praises of the Lord and proclaiming the great things he has done. Amen.
Thank you.
God did say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let us turn to our God in prayer. Let's pray. God, who will never forget the needy, in Jesus Christ, we have an eternal monument to your steadfast love and faithfulness. Help us to never forget your gospel promises and establish in us hope for the future. Hear us now as we lift before you our prayers. O Most High, you reign as King over all the nations. Grant that your kingdom, peace, and justice would be established in every land. Instill in us a pressing sense of our shared human dignity, and help us to live in the world loving our neighbors. Especially, God, this day we pray for our nation. We pray that you would grant humility and wisdom to our leaders, that they may seek the common good of all people first and not their own agendas. We pray that you would make us faithful citizens, seeking to embody the values which our nation stands for and not to be swept in by rhetoric. Lord, we pray for schools, for teachers, for administrators, for school nurses, and all students as they prepare to go back for this coming fall. We pray that you would bless the work of their hands, that schools would be faithful and good environments for learning, for growing, and even for play, knowing that in all these things you are glorified. Help us to pray for and support our schools, our teachers, and students, so that they may know that their labors are not in vain. O Holy Redeemer, you have established your church as a foretaste of your heavenly kingdom. Grant that we, empowered by your Spirit, would embody your kingdom in word and deed, reaching out with gospel welcome to a hurting world. We pray especially this day, O Lord, for the church in Kyrgyzstan. We pray that you would establish them in your truth, that you would build up believers in faith, hope, and love, and that you would raise up the next generation of faithful ministers of your gospel. We pray, bless the work of missions around the world, that they may do so according to your good and holy will, that many may come within the reach of your saving embrace and know you as Savior and Lord. We pray, O God, for this church which you have called Hebron. Help us so that in our mission and ministry, our outreach and fellowship, we would love our neighbor as we love you. O Spirit of comfort, you bind up the brokenhearted and bring sinners home. Bless all those who suffer this day in mind, body, and spirit. Give them strength and hope and peace. Especially, O Lord, we lift to you all of the persons and circumstances which weigh on our hearts and minds. O Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit one, we lift to you all these our prayers, knowing that you can do infinitely more than we could ever ask or imagine, and knowing that you will never forget us. And so we make our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Having been fed by God's word, we turn now with gratitude and thanks, giving up our life and our labors to the Lord. I ask you in this moment, as we bring our offering, to remember that we are offering our whole selves. And so answer this question for yourselves. How is God calling you to live or to act in this world towards your neighbor, towards somebody in this room that would show again his love?
Amen.
Almighty and gracious God, you will never leave us nor forsake us, and you show us your great mercy and love by giving us gifts in abundance, time, talents, and resources, which we use for your praise. And so we give these back as but a token of our gratefulness and of our thanks. Help us to be good stewards of these, your gifts, and help us to dedicate our lives to your service. All to the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Christ, crucified and risen, is the eternal reminder that God will never leave us nor forsake us, but in steadfast love and faithfulness will bring us home. So as you go out into the world, go with this certain hope for the future and live as he has called us, loving God and loving our neighbors. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day, every day, always. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.